Super Gamecast 64, episode 125. Today on the show, it's the beloved pre-3 episode. We're talking about all the rumors, some of the leaks. I don't know, I haven't really been paying attention to any of these leaks.
How have you not been paying attention? It's so huge.
E3, it's coming around the corner, and we're here to talk about what we think is going to be at the show. Someone hit this DJ, please.
Don't hit him. He's nice.
DJ? Yo, Super Gamecast 64. Guys, welcome. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show where if you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
Tyler.
Oh, sorry, crumbs.
Tyler was brushing some crumbs off of his shirt while I was trying to cue him this time.
So we got...
And that's Kevin over there.
It's me, it's Kevin. I'm going to introduce myself.
Hi, I'm Tyler. I'm taking over for Kevin.
I'm Kevin. I'm taking over for Tyler.
Kevin was out on assignment last week. Kevin, how was your assignment?
I was on the mean streets of Willowick.
Streets of Rage. The street.
Yeah, hanging out with Skates and Blades.
You learned a lot of things.
Whatever his name was.
And it's good. So I'm glad you had a good time on your assign. And now it's time for us to dig deep, guys, into the vaults of our minds. Kevin and Tyler, both, I would say myself sometimes too, we're known for our almost prophetic... not recommended.
Prophetic?
No. Prophetic. Like somebody who says something that's gonna happen, and it, like, usually does. When it comes to E3, Kevin specifically, I think you've pulled some zingers out, you've made some jokey predictions, and then, like, 2 weeks later, Microsoft's new Conquer game. That's not a good example.
It's not my fault that they listen to our podcasts and make games based on that.
They get them for free. So, guys, this episode, if you haven't listened, Season 5, I know we're just a few episodes in. As always, we're going to go over some topical news, a lot of news stories. It's, once again, slow news week. It'll be crazy next episode. We got some new games we've been playing, some old games, too. And throughout the show, we'll hit you with the pre-3 alert. If you don't know, we always do an episode before E3. Me and Tyler discussed it on the last episode, 124 Robot Master Fight Club. Go listen to that one if you haven't. The Electronic Entertainment Expo. Tyler? The E, also known as the pre-3. It's time, though, before we get into pre-3, to talk about some news.
You know what's so cool? Here's some news.
Yeah.
Here's some news about E3. Did you know that the 3 is just an E backwards? So it's almost like if you held a mirror up to the logo, it would still be E3.
Is it like the FedEx logo where there's an arrow hidden inside, and then once you see it, you can't unsee it?
Yeah, well, it's more like if you hold a mirror up to the gaming community, you get the same thing, just backwards.
And once E3 eventually goes under in the next few years, then we'll get 3E, which is, it's like sister convention that takes place underneath the convention center. It's just three basement levels.
We'll get Keel E3.
Keel E3.
So it's like that, it's like mom or dad or race car. What is it?
Palindrome.
Isn't that a race, isn't that a pod racer?
Cat.
Isn't that a pod racer in Star Wars?
The Palindrome?
Yeah, the Palindrome. That's the one that Anakin, like, runs into on the second lap, right?
The one that Sebulba drives?
Yeah, dude. I just watched Phantom Menace the other week.
Now that's pod racing.
Okay. The vamp was fun. We got some content. First thing, this is the weirdest thing. I never thought we would say this, guys, but we have a new console announcement the week before E3, and it's a handheld. I have here in my notes, it's incorrectly marked as the Playmate. It's not called that. It's called the Playdate. Does anyone else care to talk about this, or you guys want to let me
know? Yeah, it's when you meet another parent and your kids get along really well, so you set up, you know, a day where they can hang out.
A lot of cranks involved.
Basically, you drop them off, and then you go do whatever the hell you want.
A playdate.
Yeah.
This is like
a... Is that not what it is?
That is exactly what that word means.
Okay.
This is like a play on that, because it's like, if you don't have any friends for your kids, you have to play date with yourself, and so this is a handheld console with a crank. It's supposed to reinvigorate your youth. Actually, you know what?
By cranking it?
Well, you're not too far off the mark. This is developed by Panic. That's a company responsible for publishing such indie hits like Firewatch. We love the Firewatch. Love watching fires. On and off air. It's a great time. They also publish some other stuff. I'm blanking on a lot of stuff, but Panic's a great company, and not only are they a great company, they're also innovative, because they are And I guess fact check me on this if I'm wrong.
They are, huh?
Well, no, they are, because fact check me on this if I'm wrong. I think this is the first handheld console that has a physical crank on it. Maybe there's like a Leapfrog somewhere in the abyss of the 90s that I'm missing.
I used to have a hand crank radio. Does that count?
Could you play Doom on it?
You could play Skyrim on it.
Well, then, hey, it counts. The playdate is going to be a $150 black and white handheld console. It's kind of reminiscent of those old Tiger Electronic games, specifically meant to look a little low res, but like artsy.
So the only game that's going to be ported to it is the Return of the Obra Dinn, then?
And Doom.
Okay.
And Skyrim.
Hey, how do you think it's going to stack up to the Soldier Boy?
The Soldier Game, you mean.
Why would he not call it the Soldier Boy?
Exactly. Exactly right, Kevin. It's the Soldier Game, and you think maybe it would be like game in quotations, then boy on the end, because not only is that on brand, but then it'd be the Soldier Game Boy.
That just got me thinking, like, what's Soldier Boy's real name? I bet you it's like Tim Wallace or something really suck.
To the internet.
Like, think about it. Like,
Private Boy.
What?
That's a military joke for all you Memorial Day fans.
You know. How could somebody with such a great opportunity in front of them come up with something so droll? What? Because his real name is also droll.
Not a pre-3 alert, but a fresh news right off the press, just recently uncovered by our very, very own investigative journalist, Tyler. Tyler has found the secret identity of the masked man known as Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy's true identity revealed, first time ever in history, on SGC 64, episode 124. Tyler can barely contain his excitement. What is the identity of this Soulja Man?
DeAndre Cortez Way.
Okay, damn. Well, that's it. You can maybe move it around and make a stage name, but I think at like
DeAndre Way.
Oh, that would be a good R&B.
The Way Boy. He could have called the Way Boy.
Let's reel it back in. I love Soulja Boy. I love his brand.
Or the Soulja Way.
The Cortez Way.
I love how Nintendo just straight up like sued him right off the bat. Didn't even no hold bar. But let's get back to the play date real quick. I just want to. It's something that will be available in 2020. News will be forthcoming, so we'll talk about this more as the year goes on. But the main point of it is it is 12 games, but they are included in kind of, I think they're called the year one pack. It's included in your $150 purchase, and essentially
these, wait a second, $150?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
for
a black and white handheld. That was the sound of crazy thunder,
guys.
That
was the Angels bowling, baby. I hope that picked up. That was loud as fuck.
It's been pretty crazy weather-wise here in northeastern Ohio.
You know, I meant to ask you what we would do if the power went out.
Oh, we're on a laptop. We're good, baby. We can do it in the dark.
Show must go on.
You might find out what happens when the power goes out on this very episode.
Was that the thunder or a person falling?
No, that was the thunder. That would be a giant or a giantess that would need to fall that hard.
Are you sure? Because it sounds like the vent is shaking.
No.
That's my knees.
No. We're okay. Trust me on this. We're fine. 12 games from indie developers, renowned indie developers. You got people who've worked on such great games like I can't remember right now, but they're really quite good. But the thing is, they're trying to keep these 12 games that you will get every few weeks delivered to you, I'm assuming, like, wirelessly, you know, via some data sort of thing.
Well, see, in the spirit of the hand crank one, what they're going to do is they're going to send you a dot matrix sheet with all the coding on it, and you have to put it in yourself.
There's the slit at the top, and you got to crank it. I think the crank is used only for select games. Some games, like I saw a time-traveling one, it's the one they were showing on Twitter, where the crank is the sole use of control. But the crank, I thought would be funny if you like had to crank it up to power it. It's like some old tech or something, but no. It's just a fun little tool for control.
For you to crank.
We'll have more info on... Yes. Well, Jesus. This is an explicit show, by the way. I know it's not been, like, as explicit as it can be, but just as we get into the sexual innuendo.
I don't know what you're talking about into. Explicit.
Speaking of explicit things that you don't always see, but when you do and you hear them, they make you shiver to your core. Sonic the Hedgehog. People were really upset with how, let's just say, unsexy Sonic the Hedgehog looked in his CGI trailer debut.
Did you see that?
What's the over-under on people who like Sonic because he's blue and Sonic because he's a sexual object on the internet?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Well, let's just roll with that.
Roll. I get it.
Tyler?
I don't understand.
It's okay. You don't
need
to.
Just go to Google and type in sexy Sonic.
Nope.
Please?
Sonic, not gonna do that. Sonic the Hedgehog. All right. Soft vor.
Will do.
No, well, safe search on.
Ball
please.
Side. Like, he's ball right. shaped, so it's
you
easier
get
to...
one search.
Yes!
No. What do you want?
While he's doing that, I just want to see, Matt, did you see that hilarious tweet? I wish I could remember who did it. But some guy was like, tweet? Hey, I was working on the 3D modeling for Sonic and I accidentally deleted his nose and eyes. It's just a big fucking mouth.
I hate this.
An open mouth on his face.
I hate what I've done to myself.
And he's like, man. Also, I made it only be able to be angry.
Sorry, Kevin, I completely lost track of what you were saying when I peeked over at Tyler's screen, which is full of hellfire now in my eyes. Yeah. Let's just move on, and it looks like we're going to
have to... Can we get at least a description?
No.
No.
No, this is not that explicit of a show. Sorry, as I blew out the levels, but I just wanted to say that the Sonic movie, due to fan outcry, they're going to redo the CGI, or at least the look of Sonic, which is pushing that release into 2020, February 14th, to be specific, guys.
Who releases Sonic the Hedgehog on Valentine's Day?
It's got to go fast. Kevin.
You were saying I was being explicit.
We held on to this news story. You know what? You know, let's talk about it now. We held on to this news story last week because we knew that you'd want to talk about it. And I think now is a great time, though, for a pre-E3 alert. Guys, we have breaking news just in on the Square Enix press conference. For those who don't know about E3 2019, there are numerous press conferences put on by these big companies. Microsoft, Sony, they're not going to be there this year, though. Sorry, Sony. Nintendo, Ubisoft, Square Enix is one of them. And we have the latest news that may or may not be actually just fictionalized news that we came up with on the dot. But this is a good time to bring up, I think, Square Enix's biggest episodic game since The Walking Dead, the final season, which they didn't make, but hey, it took as long to make. The fantasy. Kevin?
The seventh,
it's going to be an episodic release.
Yep.
Final Fantasy VII Remake. The trailer came out at the Sony, not an E3, but they did a similar kind of press conference the other week, and they showed the new gameplay. It's not a turn-based thing.
Nope.
Kevin, what do you think? We were holding out for your opinion.
Oh, man, Barrett's voice is weird. But, I mean,
Terry Crews?
He never had a voice in the first place. But, right. It just struck me as a little odd. Although, I don't know. I don't know. I thought the animation looked really sweet. But I didn't really like the play style for 15. And I feel like that's what they're kind of gravitating towards.
Almost exactly, it seems like. They're just turning it into an action RPG for those who kind of...
I don't like that.
Did you play Crisis Core?
For, what was that, PS2?
PSP.
PSP. No, I didn't play Crisis Core. Kevin, did you?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Tyler?
It's Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core for PlayStation Portable.
I've seen it.
That's where you play as Zack.
Yeah. Is that the guy with the red cloak?
No.
Damn it.
That's the guy with the black hair and the Buster Sword. You know, the one that Cloud stole from that guy after he... spoilers, died.
Final Fantasy lore. I know very, very little about Final Fantasy.
It's okay.
Specifically 7. I've only played, I think I've admitted that, I've only played a little bit. I am concerned as to if I'm going to get the same story experience as this is an action RPG. I feel like the amount of time it takes you to play through a game, it's turn-based, maybe get you a little bit more into the line with the characters. What do you think, Tyler? You play a lot of turn-based. Is it the time you spend on the battles that make you grow the bond with these young anime boys and girls? Or is it just the story that they unweave?
The second one.
It's the story they unweave, guys. So, Kevin, sorry. It doesn't matter. It could be a first-person shooter. We're still all going to cry when that girl dies. Yeah. New spoiler limit on that now, I guess.
Wow, I guess so, yeah.
Or when Cloud gets sexually harassed when he has to cross-dress.
That is a sequence.
Wow,
they're probably going to remove that from the game. Yeah, they have likely removed it from, successive remasters. So they're probably going to... Yeah, it did not age well.
We'll see some interesting stuff. Actually, moving on from Final Fantasy VII, because I'm sure we're going to see a bunch of stuff, hopefully, at E3. We also learned of a rumor of perhaps another fantastical tale that might be final. Who wants to... I don't have the info on that.
I'll take it.
The never-ending story's finally ending.
Well, one could hope. Tyler, what have you found in your deep research in Reddit?
I heard that the next Final Fantasy will be Final Fantasy 225.
225?
Yes.
So, in a move like Bethesda's Fallout 76, how do they justify going all the way from... Because we were, what, last one was 15, right?
Yes.
So how do we get all the way... What happened between 16 and 224?
They put a 2 on it, and it squared it.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
I was wondering where they were going to go with Final Fantasy after what...
sense.
Well, does it?
Well, nope. It's been the Final Fantasy for 15 times now, so...
Right. 15 times 2.
Maybe they're subverting our expectations by just making it longer.
Just, oh, the old Game of Thrones subversion of expectations catches us again. The question is, though...
Too soon.
Will it be good now that the lead writer and Final Fantasy creator man has left the building?
Was it good?
In the first place? I don't know. This is a brand new game.
A lot of people liked it.
I missed the reference.
I'm just saying, like, I'm thinking back to, like, Final Fantasy X, like...
Never...
Ha, ha, ha!
Yeah, that
The Titus laugh.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Was it?
Yes. It was good.
Was it?
Final Fantasy...
Why you gotta make me say it?
225... Can we call it Final Fantasy 30, just for... Or 15-2?
Nah.
15 squared.
15 squared.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting to the Kingdom Hearts realm. It's only so long before we get a Final Fantasy Fractions game, which is
Final Fantasy 2.5x3 Dream Diagram
by Tom Clancy's diarrhea. Yeah, diarrhea. That's where we've come.
Death Stranding.
The last thing that I wanted
it's
to
all about connections.
Please reconnect us. There was a new Death Stranding trailer on Twitter the other day. Check it out.
Nah.
Square Enix, maybe we'll see something at E3. Last thing of Square Enix news, we have here the Avengers game. You guys like Marvel? We talked about Marvel a little bit last few episodes. We won't talk about it, even though the spoiler limit of Endgame is up. I don't want to be those guys.
Nah.
We're not those guys.
But the Avengers game, do you guys, because they've been working on this for a while. No. This is the Square Enix, they made a deal. This is not the end one. It's just Avengers Endgame. Or just Avengers the game. Square Enix was supposedly working on this for the past few years in conjunction with Marvel. Where, if you guys could pick, like, one time frame, I guess, would you want it set in the end game, the late Thanos arc? Would you want, like, an early phase one? Would you even want it to be MCU at all? Honest question, on the spot. I like to drop it like that.
Honest question, I would not want it to be in the MCU. I would also not want it to be in the comic books. I think it would be cool if it was its own world.
The GCU.
The Game Cinematic Universe.
GMCU.
MGU.
MGMCU.
MGK.
Do we want it to be realistic graphics or like cartoonish?
Cleveland?
Do we want cartoonish graphics like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3?
Yes.
If they made it like 3D comic book style where like you punch and it goes kapow.
Yes. Like what if the comic jumper or comic man.
Right. What if it was super gritty like Skyrim though?
What if it was a hard M-rated game where Iron Man...
Like Arkham sort of thing?
Blasted holes into people with light.
You know what? Rocksteady, even though this isn't Square Enix, Rocksteady is poised to announce their new DC game, which I actually forgot about. This isn't a joke. Like, they've been working... The rumor was that it was a new Batman Arkham game. There was a few years ago, or maybe like 2 years ago, it was leaked like a cover art, and then people were like, oh, that's not real. But they've been super under wraps. I don't know. Anything that Rocksteady puts out, I'm pretty into, because Batman Arkham was real good.
I would like an Infamous game, but with Marvel characters.
So like a kind of like open world GTA, but lot of the parkour kind of thing?
Yep.
So Grand Theft Marvel.
Yep.
I like it. We'll see. Hopefully they announce something with this Avengers game, because it's high time. The movies, the MCU's big first arc is kind of done. Now it'd be a good time to throw something fresh in there and not just retread on old territory. Let's reel it back. The pre-3 alert was fun. We have more to come. Do you guys want to talk about this Mario Maker 2 Direct?
Did you watch it?
I watched parts of it.
Did you watch it?
Nope.
I didn't watch it.
It's going to have Super Mario 3D Worlds, so you can make a Cat Mario. You can have online co-op, but you can't play with your friends.
What happened to Dog Mario?
Maybe he's an unlockable character.
Why isn't that a thing?
In Mario Maker 1 on the Wii U, Tanuki. You could play as a Mercedes-Benz Mario. There was a weird DLC where you played as Mario Benz.
You know what I want more than anything from Mario Maker 2?
Mario Maker 3.
No.
What?
No.
Mega Man Maker.
I want T-Rex Mario. So when all these cheeky motherfuckers make these impossible levels, you can just turn into T-Rex Mario and just Shrek them.
What happens with you could do Super Mario World. So what happens when T-Rex Mario jumps onto Yoshi Dino? Does it then become M-rated?
Yoshi
or is
dies.
Is it Godzilla War of Monsters?
Yoshi gets jealous.
Super jelly of your ripped bod.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we'll see when Mario Maker 2, a lot of stuff. Mario Maker 2 is right around the corner, too.
Well, because like Yoshi's thick, like curvy, thick.
Yes, especially Blue Yoshi. He's got a little bit more junk for sure. There's just so much stuff that is in Mario Maker 2. Honestly, the Direct was like 20 minutes, and kind of like the, not the Pokemon Direct, but the Smash Brothers Direct, they went over almost everything. There are so many different features as far as map making goes and map sharing. There's a story mode that you'll have to kind of finish the level to complete it.
Yeah, and there's like 100 dev-made levels, too, yeah, so which... Is that what you were talking about with the story mode?
Yeah, so it's like levels that were made by Nintendo. So at the very least, you have 100 Nintendo-branded Super Mario levels.
That's what I was thinking. Is that, I mean, think about how many levels are in a normal Mario game, you know?
Eight worlds with 10 apiece, you're looking at 80 maybe?
So you're looking at a full Mario game with the basically the built-in maker.
And it's all spread across the different generations,
right?
Because that's the whole point of the Mario maker.
I think that's a great idea. That really justifies the price point.
I think it's going to be a good time. Hopefully, we'll play it in a month or two. I think it's what is it, July something. I didn't write down the date. That's my bad. But you can find it, I think, on our Instagram or something.
Speaking of Mario,
yes,
3.1 is coming out soon
for Smash.
For Smash, nobody knows anything about it.
I'm other pretty than sure
they're nerfing everyone and just buffing Duck Hunt.
Hey, Duck Hunt needs a buff. All the time. Duck Hunt OG.
Dude, everybody already hates playing my Duck Hunt.
Yeah, well, it's annoying. It's like playing my Link or my Simon.
Simon.
Your dog?
Yes. Oh,
okay. Speaking of things that Kevin likes to play, let's move into the games section. This is where we talk about the games
we've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of the show, really, is that we like to play games, we want to talk about games, and we want to talk with you guys, the listening audience, who also like to play games. Kevin, this is a game that you like on the mobile. Tyler, you played this on the mobile, too, a little bit, right?
Yeah, a lot of it.
I played it also on the mobile. We're talking about a little Yarg-Harg, Sweetily-Dee, Sea of Thieves, but Slay the Spire-y. What are we talking about here?
That was good. We're talking about Pirates Outlaws.
It's very important. Not Pirate Outlaws. Pirates Outlaws.
Pirates Outlaws. It's a game by Fabled Games.
Yes.
Which is a pretty heretofore unknown mobile dev.
Underdog.
Made on Unity.
Unity's a good engine.
So it's got a really cool art style. The best way I can describe it is like a high-res, if somebody made like Papercraft characters.
Uh-huh.
And but it was like more sleek,
and it's also all pirates.
Yeah, so
the whole aesthetic is pirates.
You're a pirate, right?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, for those of you who haven't played Slay the Spire, it's a deck builder, but not so much in that you build the deck before you play. You build as you play, so you go through from island to island on your little ship, and you fight other pirates. Usually, anywhere from one to three of them, and they all have different abilities and different little sneaky tactics that you have to work around.
It's all turn-based, you know, you're using the cards to the attacks.
Yep, you have five cards in your hand. You have an ammo system, so you use that ammo on ranged cards or skill cards, or you have melee cards, which cost no ammo.
Usually.
There's some variety in the cards.
Yes, and then you also have relics that give you ongoing buffs that help you in your quest.
So it's a pirate theme, Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
And there's how much?
It's a dollar.
A dollar is not a bad price.
It's a dollar
well spent.
It's frankly, there are microtransactions within.
That's where they get you.
However.
Soon to be illegal.
There is only a single currency and you earn it by playing. So if you suck at the game, you may be tempted to use money on the microtransactions. The one thing I did notice, worth noting, for those of you playing along at home, it does kind of vary as to what cards you unlock as you play. So every run you have an experience bar, for lack of a better example.
Yeah.
And when you fill that experience bar, you get a little booster pack that has one new card or one new relic that you add to the pool that you pull from every time you play. There's three different routes you can take. Each kind of like themed differently.
Kind of reminds me of like Star Fox 64 in that way, yes. Of like, hey, you can go this way off the asteroid field. It's not an asteroid field, you know, like a sunken pirate ship.
Right.
But you're always insured progress.
Right. So the feature that I noticed that I think will make everybody's game different is that there's no rhyme or reason to the unlocks, it seems. So you may get lucky and unlock a lot of cards that are really great for your favorite character, because there are different heroes that all function differently.
Eight, in fact.
You know, you have the regular pirate who has three ammo and he's kind of like ranged focused. He reloads an ammo every turn.
Swordmaster, you talked about him.
The gunner?
The gunner, yes, thank you. The swordmaster, who's my personal favorite, He doesn't do anything until he reaches below 50% health, at which point he gains a little bit of lifesteal. So every melee attack you do, you get a little bit of health back. So you have this fun interplay between, you know, losing a little bit of health and then gaining it back by attacking. And, you know, you know, my favorite thing is, like, one of the relics will give you, let you draw a card when you take damage on your own turn. And then the Swordmaster has abilities that, you know, you can give somebody a critical chance if you remove 5 health from yourself. So you get to draw a card. Do crit. It's this cool little cascading effect.
It seems like there's decent strategy, and with the multiple, not classes, but the characters, it doesn't tie you into one sort of playstyle, whereas other deck builders might kind of be all revolved around the cards. The question, though, is, kind of Tyler I got to go to on this one, too, because Tyler's the guy who plays a bunch of mobile games, and then he goes yay or nay after about a month or so. You guys were both kind of into it pretty hard. I played a little bit. Is it still worth playing after you've spent, let's say, 20 to 30 hours? Or does it drop off? Tyler.
I think it's got a lot of staying power if you like this kind of game. If you are looking for a deck builder with roguelike elements and multiple characters with a pretty good progression system, it's great for a dollar.
That's what I was going to say.
Honestly, go for it.
At the end of the day, if you haven't maybe played many deck builders and you're thinking about it, this is a pretty straightforward one. It's also one that's a dollar. So if you're thinking like Slay the Spire, but you're not sure, that's like a $15 to $20 game.
Right.
You just jump in with this. It's a small, small commitment cash-wise.
It's also worth noting that it's only been out for the better part of a month or two, and they've already added another character.
Uh-huh.
And the point therein that I'm trying to make is that if you are good at the game, you'll be getting enough gold to slowly unlock the different, you know, routes that you can take. You can take one of three right now. The different heroes, you know, you're earning gold constantly, but it's enough of a markup that you will have to complete X amount of runs before you can ever afford that character. So there is some progression to it.
And something works for
staying power.
Hell yeah. Pirates Outlaws. It gets the SGC 64 seal of approval. And let's talk a little bit about, well, okay, I'm going to talk for a second. Rage 2. Kevin, did you play any of this, or Tyler?
Nope.
Kevin, no. Rage 2 is a sequel to an open-world shooting game named Rage that was out on 360 and PS3. I think we've talked about it a little bit, maybe 2 episodes ago. Am I right? Am I wrong?
I think we talked about it last week.
Long story short, you run around an open world, you shoot things. I finished it. I thought it was a decent time. I just wanted to finally give my final conclusions on it. It's kind of like Doom, but also Far Cry. If you've played Far Cry New Dawn specifically, it's kind of like that. But I think I saw somebody on Kotaku, a writer, say it's almost like they kind of copied and pasted the same 6 or 7 things over and over and over, which is true to the mission design and stuff like that. It is kind of go here and shoot a bunch of dudes or find this notepad or something. But the core gameplay is fun. The gunplay is fast, quick, like Doom. You have new abilities you're unlocking. Almost everything can be upgraded, which at a certain point kind of becomes, like, annoying, almost, because it's everything can be upgraded. Like, your grenades have schematics, and then you can also upgrade them. But in order to unlock the perk upgrades, you have to spend Feltrite, which is these shards that guys drop, which also acts as health. And so you start getting really confused about 14 different, to the opposite of Pirates Outlaws. There are so many currencies in Rage 2 that you often forget which are needed to upgrade certain things, specifically when it gets to, like, hey, this is used to upgrade your health. Or your major stats. You're like, oh, was that the neutronic processor or the nanotrite booster I needed? And so that kind of stuff is a little overwhelming at first, but it gives way to some fun shooting. I think that Rage 2, while not a $60 title, at least definitely not in terms of narrative, it really is kind of very straightforward and very brief. It could be a fun $30 or mid-tier completion title if you just want to shoot some dudes in the face. Rage 2... Not a lot of rage, mad enemies, but I didn't feel very angry playing it. But it's fun if you like shooting people in the face. Guys, pre-3 alert.
Beep, 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 beep.
That was the sound of an alien ship coming down shooting. It sounded like an alien ship shooting teeny tiny lasers at the guy who was holding the news ticker. So it was both those combined. Guys, speaking of rage, you know who everyone likes to rage about? At E3?
At E3?
At E3. Specifically, like... Well, here, I think people are going to... Let me just run this by you. Fallout 76. Do you think Bethesda, who will be having a press conference as they have for the past 3 years at E3, do you think they're going to have a good time?
No.
Discussing Fallout? Do you think they're going to completely go over it? Like, just ignore the fact that it exists?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, highly likely.
Kevin's dying on the show. Don't die,
Kevin. First podcast death ever.
It's okay. Do it on air.
Yeah, of course. I think...
Jesus, Kevin. Hold on while Kevin suffocates to death. For real, I wasn't sure if they were going to do DLC. Yeah. I've heard that they have been releasing DLC, but I didn't know if they were going to kind of be like, just not mention it in front of the, you know, the audience of potentially trolling hundreds. But what do you guys think, for real, on Fallout 76?
Going to release a sequel.
Yeah.
Not a sequel, I'm sorry, an expansion. Okay. In which... You basically go from town to town. You can craft new melee weapons.
Nice.
You don't need guns anymore because you have magic hands.
Okay.
And you fight and kill dragons and All absorb right. their souls in order to basically... you scream, kind of.
All right,
scream
all right.
words that dragons teach you, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like... I know it sounds like Skyrim, but
Fallout
it's not.
Fallout 76 will fade out.
It's called Fallout 76.
Fade back in.
It's called The Elder Scrolls Fallout 76.
Fallout 77, The Elder Scrolls Skyrim 6.
Online.
Remastered Special Edition with all DLC for Fallout, for Skyrim
but
VR.
I know it sounds like Skyrim. You guys are laughing. I know it sounds like Skyrim, but we'll have that iconic Fallout radio.
it's literally Skyrim.
But instead of music, it's just the guards' quotes over and over again. Never should have come here.
It played through like a shitty 1950s radio box.
Yeah, which is probably the best radio box Skyrim has ever seen.
Yeah. Well, judging by the time, that's the whole thing. You're like a time traveler, but just you have the one radio and that's your staying power over Tamriel.
It tells the story. True. It tells the story of how the guys at the top of the mountain, what are they called again?
The Greybeards.
Yeah.
Guessing. Tells the story of how they got started. Because the original Greybeard was just a radio that your character dies and leaves there.
Nice. Radio is also a good movie. I just want to bring that up. Radio is a good time.
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes. The Cuba. You said radio. I was like, that's a good movie.
Hell of a tangent.
ESO. Elder Scrolls Online.
Elsweere.
Well,
whatever.
So Elsweere is the big expansion of Elder Scrolls Online. It is launching, I want to say, like, right around the... I'm not sure if it's the day before or the day
Hold
after.
Hold on. Are you about to tell me it's coming out on Switch?
No.
Because I'm going to freak out.
That would be a weird thing. I don't think that Nintendo's online service can handle ESO on Switch, but they could try.
I'd give it exactly the amount of attention that I give it now, actually.
It's a whole None? Lot of zero. I'm just saying that if you're thinking about Elder Scrolls Online as far as Bethesda's press conference is concerned, it's probably going to be them going, hey, a lot of people are playing Elsweere. We still got tons of people playing. It's a good time. And then maybe they'll announce the next chapter, which is kind of what they did last year. They talked about how great Somerset was. They announced Mirkmire, which I played. It was also good. We'll talk about Elsweere when it comes out. Last thing.
Oh, wait, did we talk about how it was... The whole story is a complete ripoff of an old Dungeons & Dragons module?
Wait, it is?
Yeah. I think it's called the Black City or something like that.
Elsweere?
Elsweere.
Oh, I mean, I'm not gonna stand here and say that Elsweere is unique. It's pretty much like, dragons! And that's the whole point of it. Is dragons have returned and... dragons, and if that story hasn't been done at least 40 times over...
Is it...
It's dragons.
Were they brought to the continent by a small girl?
Well, I don't know. There's a prequel mission you can download for free from the Crown Store, where you open a door and then you're like, dragons, we shouldn't open that, dragons! And, you know, I'm not trying to spoil, but you, dragons, you let some dragons out.
It's like the Captain Crunch cereal.
Uh-huh. Oops, All Dragons.
So
that's the fucking episode title. Pre-3, Oops, All Dragons.
So, it's called The Black Road. I don't know what I said.
The Black City.
Something close enough.
That was close. Cool.
Yeah.
And it's because Elder Scrolls was releasing a board game that was an exact copy of The Black Road.
Well, hey.
But called something different.
Were they playing the homage, or were they like just ripping off it and trying to hide it?
Just ripping off, not trying to hide it. They posted their rules, and this guy's like, the fact that they used 5th edition rules is perfectly fine, as long as they don't. I'm sorry, This guy is just saying that these are 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons rules.
They're copying Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Which you could say almost everyone copies Dungeons & Dragons, but that's doing it a little bit more on the nose.
To be fair, though, Dungeons & Dragons copied Magic the Gathering now.
To be fair, Magic the Gathering copied J.R.R. Tolkien's the Hobbits of the Rings.
Super funny joke, Kevin.
Guys.
The same goddamn company.
The last Wizards of the Shore. The last thing I want to talk about here.
Sorcerers of the Shore.
Sorcerers of the Stone. The last thing I want to talk about here is Starfield, which, lol, my phone auto-corrected to Garfield. So for,
I'm sorry, John.
Yes. I just want you listening at home to imagine for a moment, not a city underwater, but a city crafted by Bethesda where you play as Garfield. And just enjoy that.
But dude, that's got to be a mod.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's probably a Shrek mod, too.
Oh, well, you can make a dragon into anything in Skyrim with mods. You know, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Dragon, I'm saying you play.
You play as... Well, you can be a cat Garfield. Person in Elder Scrolls.
Dude, replace all the cabbage with lasagna. You're on.
Starfield, we don't know much about. It's just the first game from Bethesda to not be called Fallout or Skyrim or Elder Scrolls in, like, 15 years. I'm assuming it's going to be an RPG that takes place in space.
You got any predictions on how long before they destroy it?
It's gonna have online capabilities.
Of course.
So right from the rip.
Got it.
I don't know actually. We'll have to see. It depends on what engine they're using, because Fallout 76 was still based on that same old engine. They need to boost
their shitty engine out of a Toyota like fucking Camry from 1997?
Yes. Yes. Bethesda, we'll have to see. I really don't know. Maybe we'll see some Wolfenstein stuff. Maybe some.
I'm shitting on Bethesda. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, Bethesda earns...
I love Skyrim.
I think the runner-up for most disappointing game last year at our Game of the Year Awards, Best of 2018 Awards. You can listen to that on the feed. It's a great time. It is raining hard out there, boys. It is raining hard.
You sure know, but it's not just a toilet?
Sounds like a toilet. Pretty sure it's a toilet.
It's a toilet.
It's okay. We'll see how Bethesda does at E3.
It's so fitting, though, that
what
we end that Bethesda talk with the sound of a flushing toilet.
Yeah, dude. That's kind of 2018 in a wrap-up for Bethesda.
For a lot of things.
Let's go back to games. We still have a few here. Speaking of things that are scary, and we don't know how long they're going to last. I hope they last long. Layers of Fear 2.
Oh, I thought you were talking about climate change.
No, we don't want to hope that lasts long. We want it to revert. Stop changing climate. No more warm. Layers of Fear 2. Let's talk about this very briefly, because it just came out, so I don't want to spoil anybody on this. Kevin, with most horror games, you've been playing them recently.
Sure, yeah.
And you did not play Layers of Fear 1.
Nope.
So you had no expectations really going in besides the few little tidbits I gave you.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of Layers of Fear 2, aside from there are some kind of graphical hiccups. There's like a head bob mode, there's V-Sync, you can have 30 FPS, 60 FPS, and on top of that, the game kind of has, not a weird animation, it can make you feel a little sick. I won't doubt that. For me, it wasn't terrible after turning off head bob, but I know Kevin
used it. I also turned off head bob, and I do want to kind of go over what you just said.
Yep.
The options for frame rates are 30 or no cap.
Yeah, which is not good.
Which is not good, because it means 30, and then every once in a while you'll get a split second of 60, which is just enough to pull you out of the motion sickness that 30 was giving. And I don't mean to shit on the game. The game itself was really cool. But if they can solve that problem, nonetheless, the reason it was causing so much grief is because, and again, no spoilers, the whole thing takes place on a, I don't know if I'd say turn of the century, but
it is old-timey.
Mid-20th century cruise ship.
Yeah, big-ass steamer.
Okay, and you know, you are exploring this ship, and anybody who's never played Layers of Fear before, the best way I can describe it is it almost makes you personally, player, question your sanity.
Yes.
Because you walk into a room, and you look around, the doors are locked, and you're like, ah, shit, okay, I gotta go back, I'm gonna double back and go back and down that hallway that I was just down, and you turn around and the door's gone.
It does a lot of things as well with maybe it's my FOV setting where it just so happens that I turn right as it's happening, but you'll turn around and you'll see just the silhouette of something.
Yeah.
And just, it's gone and you're not even sure what you just processed.
You're not sure if you saw it or not.
And it slowly starts to, I was playing this late last night. We just got it the other night. And at a certain point I was like, dude, I don't know if I'm too tired If I'm seeing things that the game isn't, but I'm pretty sure there was a shadow there, and then it starts like, do I need this to be scarier than it already is because I'm starting to see things? And I think Layers of Fear 2 really does that well with you questioning your own sanity. In Layers of Fear 1, it was very much a display of the loss of sanity of the main player or character you were playing as. In the original game, you were a demented painter who was slowly slipping in insanity, trying to finish his magnum opus, walking around his house. And like Kevin said, you know, the house starts bending in ways that are not realistic, and he starts to descend into madness. In the second one, you're the actor on the ship trying to, quote, what, become the character.
Become the character.
It's all very steeped in, like, this artsy, not artsy-fartsy, but it's not right in front of you, like, there's a bad guy chasing you, run.
Right.
Like, it's very...
It's reminiscent of Bioshock in a way,
yeah.
In that you are on a on the sea, obviously, nautical themed. It's a little bit Art Deco. I'd say it's actually more like Art Nouveau in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Back to the frame rate thing. Like the only reason it was so apparent to me is because you're walking down these long hallways of cabins,
and the boat's kind of swaying too.
Yeah. So you get the really cool effect of the boat like kind of shifting under your feet, but then. You know, when the frame rate drops, it's kind of jittery and hard to parse.
Just to put out there officially, I don't think that there is an inherent issue with the visuals beyond the head bob.
Right.
So this is something Kevin's experiencing.
This is a personal experience.
But I wouldn't want to discount that other people can get motion sick from these kinds of... And it's very realistic looking, too.
Yeah.
So when you get that break of immersion of FPS drop or something, or sometimes there's, like, these mannequins that are all spread across the ship... And they're almost animated weirdly at points when they're moving. And you're like, is this intentional or weird? I don't know. It's a good game, though.
Some puzzle elements.
Yeah, it's light. It's like a walking sim with puzzle elements. The real question, though, is, Tyler, will you play this game?
Steamboat Willie?
Steamboat Willie with some willies.
No, definitely not.
Extra dash of willies. I feel like Tyler would like to see this game be played.
No, I would still throw up.
Probably.
Yeah.
But what
I'm very susceptible to... Motion sickness.
What I will say, though, is that it is... I don't want to say it's full of jump scares, because they're not cheap jump scares. It's preceded by the 40 minutes of silence and you slowly questioning, like, did I really see something? Until you totally do see something, and it's for, like, a half second.
There was one early part that got Matt and I both.
Yep.
Pretty,
you don't even have to fucking look at it.
Pretty effectively.
And it's completely reliant on you having muscle memory of playing every other video game where you inspect items and how that works.
You pick up everything.
And before you can even stop and go, this is probably going to scare me, boop, and it's over. And it's all reliant on, Tyler is interested, I will... remind us to tell you after, because it's a really cool scare, and I don't want to spoil it. It's like actually the first true scare of the game. Layers of Fear 2 can be picked up for pretty cheap. I want to say $20 to $30. Correction on a price earlier. Slay the Spire is $25. Thank you, Tyler, for that correction.
It's coming to Switch.
It's got 100% on Steam.
Slay the Spire is...
100%.
It's a good game. My young Dan Owen bought it on PS4 and PC.
I'm waiting for Switch.
Yeah, he was waiting for Switch as well, and then I guess there's some problems. It should be on Switch. Hopefully, the Nintendo Direct will have that release
date. Yeah, I think
they're
saying, like, late June.
June 6th.
Yeah.
What was it? Nintendo Direct? Pre-thriller? It's another...
Beep, 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 beep.
That was the news ticker. We shot down the alien ship. It's all good. Boop. Guys, beyond what we just mentioned, Nintendo has so many things up on the plate. Real quick, like... These are the things that are supposed to come out in 2019. A limited list of shit that I'm excited for. Luigi's Mansion 3. Animal Crossing.
Bayonetta. Don't get everyone's hope up.
Bayonetta 3. Metroid Prime 4 was supposed... But I think they pushed it to 2020. And of course, the Smash Ultimate DLC characters. And then we don't know what else. There could be a plethora of stuff because Nintendo loves to bring it at these E3 Directs.
One of the one of our fans on our page, when you posted that E3 question, brought up something that I never knew I wanted until... He said it.
Yes.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes.
As a Smash character.
Josh has been saying that for 12 years.
Dude, that would be awesome.
We will get to more of the answers. Of course, we had to have an E3-related question, a user question we fielded, which was, what are your hopes and dreams for this E3 across the board? We had a few responses, and we'll cover those towards the end. But yes, I think there is some great time here specifically for Smash DLC characters because you are having this marriage of Microsoft and Nintendo in some cool ways. I don't know if Sony would want to extend further than, or Konami or other people would want to extend further than, like, Snake, but I think this might be a good time for it to not be another 14 anime boys.
I was just going to say another fucking Fire Emblem person.
I really hope it's not Dragon Quest either. Not to dog on Dragon Quest or the characters in there, but I kind of want something that isn't a JRPG.
You mean Dragalia Lost?
No. People are talking about Dragon Quest potentially because new Dragon Quests are coming to the Switch.
Tyler, yeah, but we want Yuden from Dragalia Lost,
the main character. Yeah, Tyler and I have a pretty solid tinfoil hat theory going on that they're going to include the main character from Dragalia.
So that's our first, I think, official prediction that isn't a joke. Dragalia Lost, protagonist.
Yeah, actually, I would put my weight behind that as an actual
absolutely
prediction.
Pop our hat that into our bet bag. Luigi's Mansion 3, I really hope it makes October. I think that would be a great little thing. I both me and my partner, we love Luigi's Mansion. She played through on the 3DS. I play it through on my GameCube almost every year. It's a fantastic game. I thought Dark Moon, which was the 3DS sequel, was good, but not as good as the original. I hope 3 can kind of bring the power of the Switch and give us another huge mansion.
I'm actually more partial to Luigi's Split Level.
Yes. But I think Luigi's Duplex is also more reasonable. That is good. What if it was like that? What if Luigi's Mansion 3 was kind of like, like Silent Hill,
Luigi's
Room?
Luigi's Apartment.
No, for real, like Silent Hill 4, The Room, where Luigi's just going about his day, and then he pulls off the old painting of Mario from the first game, and then he finds a hole there. And there's a little Boo at the end waving, and he goes in the hole and comes out in Silent Mushroom Kingdom.
He has to crawl through a sewer pipe.
Yes.
And wait for the lightning strikes to break it open.
Exactly. Yeah. But Kevin, I think you might, if Luigi's Mansion 3 is a big blockbuster or a big attempt by Nintendo to reinvigorate the series or make maybe a final Luigi's Mansion, I think you will enjoy it more than you might think because of how much you like Resident Evil 2. And Resident Evil 2, the remake of Resident Evil 2, the way they have that map laid out and the whole room-to-room-to-room thing, Luigi's Mansion is basically that, but simpler and with more fun characters. With Nintendo. Have you ever played Luigi's Mansion 1? Kev?
A little bit.
Okay, it's the first one, you know, they were still working out the kinks, right. But I think this 2019 would be a great version of basically Resident Evil 2 for kids, which is Luigi's Mansion 3. Animal Crossing. Tyler, out of this list besides Smash, like, what are you most amped for Nintendo-wise? I only have so many things on this list because, like I
Nothing.
Said, Nintendo's a grab bag. What would you hope beyond Legend of Zelda or Mega Man Maker, which would be Capcom, I guess, for Mega Man? What would you love Nintendo to announce? Do you have like a pipe dream? I know we've been talking about like Super Nintendo.
Is that a Nintendo joke? A pipe dream?
Now it is, because Kevin, I was totally intentional. N64 Classic. Game Boy Classic.
Nah.
Really, Tyler, not feeling the love for Nintendo this year?
Look, I have pretty much, like, they've done everything I ever wanted them to do.
He's happy now.
Except, like, Mega Man Power Battles for a reasonable price.
What if they made Mega Man Network? That wouldn't.
No.
What? Don't care. What if they give more info on Town?
Yeah, Town. The new Game Freak game. Because if Pokemon is almost ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon's got the Direct. They'll probably announce the June 5th is the Pokemon Direct.
Yeah, Town is whatever. It's just like it's a town builder, right? With some obviously story.
I have no idea.
Game Freak's next game, I think it was at E3 2018, they showed a very brief trailer for it. It's just
called Town is the working title.
Yeah, it was just a Town working title, so it might be called Poketown. Who knows? Maybe that was like Pokemon and we just didn't realize
it. This isn't E3 related, but it is Pokemon related. Do you think they'll announce the release date on June 5th?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's
Do you think it's going to be soon?
That's the question I wanted to field to you guys.
Holiday?
You're going holiday?
Holiday.
That's very classic of Pokemon. I remember getting Pokemon for Christmas.
And my question here, well, because this is what I'm thinking. If October is Luigi's Mansion and they plan on doing Animal Crossing this year.
Oh, man.
Do you put Animal Crossing in December? Or do you put...
No. What they're going to do is they're going to do Animal Crossing in either...
Nintendo's
August
one of the only people who do
August
that.
Or September, I bet, for Animal Crossing.
That makes sense.
It's going to be a fall game.
That would be very early.
Early fall, yeah.
Be a surprise release.
Yeah. And then Luigi Mansion
in October.
And then Pokemon.
November?
Late November.
Gives you enough time to get the kids into it.
What do you think, Tyler?
So last game of the year, we didn't actually get to the most anticipated category because, you know, we ran 4 episodes, 7 hours.
It's
kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
Things we listed on here were a good survival MMO, a good MMO.
I like Yes So. I think maybe that wasn't me.
That was me.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Nice, Kevo.
Harry Potter RPG.
Yeah, dude. The Harry Potter. Yo.
Mega Man without a gimmick. And Jet Set Radio. And
Jet Set Radio would be a good get.
Yeah. I don't think any of that will happen.
No, though. But Harry Potter RPG would be perfect for Warner to drop it like Microsoft.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if you didn't see it, I'm not sure how you would.
They could combo it with the Wizards Unite thing.
That's what maybe Nintendo does it. All I'm saying is that that Harry Potter leaked footage from however many months ago was too realistic and too developed and polished to be a fake.
Be careful what you wish for, because it could be a Fantastic Beasts game.
Look, if it...
I'd do it. It'd be fine.
As long as it looks and plays as good as it... Or it plays as good as it looked in that little, you know, leak trailer thing, we'll see.
As long as you can vanish poop from your robe, that's all I care about.
Then it'd have to be Fantastic Beasts. I don't mean to jump off Nintendo, but we're hitting about 50 minutes. Does anyone want to... Metroid Prime Collection? You think maybe we'll get that? We've heard rumors of that. Persona 5 on Switch? I'd buy that immediately.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. As much as we want it to happen, it's not going to happen.
Damn it.
Like, they announced the Persona 5S, and it's a Dynasty Warriors game.
Silly.
Dude, when are they going to stop making Dynasty Warriors? Let's be honest.
Whenever Dynasty Warriors stop selling.
Which right. I mean, they did the Dynasty Warriors always through, like, all through... 8, and then they did the Orochi Warriors, and they did Dynasty Warriors.
Didn't 9 just come out?
Gundams? Probably.
I think 9 is the most recent, and it's kind of starting to slow down.
They made Dynasty Warriors Hyrule.
That was a good one.
Right.
Though. I did not like that game.
You didn't like that, Hyrule Warriors?
I liked the adventure mode a lot, where it was like a top-down map of like the old-school Zelda maps, and like they had a Majora's Mask one, and you would fight different like themed... It's a good game on the Switch, I think. On the Wii U, maybe not so much because...
I had it on the 3DS and it sucked.
Oh, yeah. No, the 3DS version is trash. It's essentially like if you take Dynasty Warriors and go, instead of fighting 100 guys, you're going to fight 10. And that's like the whole thing of Hyrule Warriors is how many people they were able to put on that screen. Get Hyrule Warriors on Switch. Maybe, if you're interested. Definitely not 3DS.
Boy.
Anything else? We the pipe. Dude, Harry Potter RPG could be a get for the Switch. Like, just a late December or late November out of nowheres.
If they make it, like, that early PC Harry Potter.
Like Chamber of Secrets and Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, man. Those were fun.
Hell yeah, dude.
Where you had to, like, trace the spell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that shit was my...
Use some gyroscopes. Time. Use your Joy-Con.
No gyroscopes.
That's sounding...
We've talked about this.
Yeah, no, I don't like force motion controls. Please not.
Although... You could...
Force a gyroscope up your ass.
You could, like, whoa. You know... They have like they did the 1-2 switch thing where it feels like you're eating a sandwich even though it's a remote, you know? Yeah. That could be pretty good.
It could.
I think.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to get a little bit blue there. You're just talking about like, you know, vanishing the poop and the gyroscope's the wand and sorry guys.
I mean, so.
Shame on me.
They gotta use the HD rumble and the gyroscope in for something.
Yeah.
What better use of the HD rumble?
It could make you feel like you're drinking tea in Professor Trelawney's attic, and you have to read the tea leaves.
Oh, and then you start tripping balls, and she's like, calm down, my young
you can
one.
Eat the gilly root.
Watch out for the giant
she blinks her nine eyes.
Snake in the walls. Let's move back to games real quick. Life is Strange 2, Episode 2 was alright.
Alright.
Okay,
moving on.
pretty much. Like, it was better than Episode 2. But there's weed in it.
Still really disingenuous slang.
They're getting a little bit better. So episode 3 it's just funny because they're really banking on it. At the end of episode 2, you know how they have like on these most of these episodic anythings, next time on, right? At the end of episode 2 of Life is Strange, it was next time on Life is Strange, and they literally just showed like a bunch of weed plants in like a weed op. And I was like,
weed.
I was like, oh, marijuana. Oh boy. And then so literally episode 3, it's like a few months after episode 2, you and your brother shacked up in Humboldt County, California, which is like weed capital of California, and you're living in a hippie.
The old Emerald Triangle.
You're living in a hippie camp in the Redwood Forest.
Stardew Valley 2.
Like, it's really on the nose. And your 9-year-old brother is helping you trim marijuana buds while he stifles his telekinetic powers. It's interesting. It's better. It's going somewhere. Thank God.
He just harvests marijuana with his mind.
You're not too far from the truth.
Hey, dry these buds out for me.
Like, that was not the sound of Kevin trying to pass a shit. It was the sound of Kevin doing the Magneto.
You just put happens to be the same sound, though.
Lego Movie 2, the game...
You know Magneto makes that noise.
He does. Really...
What do you take this shit? Trying to...
and trying to lift, like, the toilet off the ground because it's metal. He just floats around. Jeez.
What kind of metal toilet? What?
That's Magneto. I'm assuming everything is... Oh!
Maybe he's...
bending the bars.
Shit metal?
Lego Movie 2, the game, does not play like other Lego games. No. I just want to bring that up. It's an open world game. It's like Grand Theft Auto for kids. So if you have kids and they're like, I want to play Grand Theft Auto, get them Lego Movie the game too.
Here's Grand Theft Lego.
Or honestly, get them Toy Story 3 for the Xbox 360 and let them play Toy Box mode. Because once again, that is literally Grand Theft Auto for kids. Pre-3 alert.
Beep, beep, beep.
Beep, 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 beep.
Microsoft. I don't, once again, since Sony is not going to be at this show... Microsoft kind of has almost everything besides Sony exclusives. You know, every new Call of Duty, new Halo, new Gears. Does anybody want anything? Like, Kevin, you said Banjo would be cool in Smash, but would you want, like, a return of any Rare property? Kevin, you like Sea of Thieves, but Rare's up for a new thing. You know, would you like to see a Banjo 3, a new Conker, a remake of Conker's Bad Fur Day?
Didn't they make a Banjo 3?
Nuts and bolts, but we won't call that Banjo 3. Oh my god, what if they announce Banjo 3E at E3?
Oh no.
And then that's how they do it, you know? The time is now, Rare. Give me some of that Baron Bird love. People are saying that the new From Software game, you know From Software, they made the Sekiro, the Bloodborne, the Dark Souls.
All the games are, yeah, they're From Software.
Yeah, they're From Software, and yep. From Software is teaming up with George R. Martin. George R. Martin, he made the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And they're going to make a game together. And they're going to show it at Microsoft press conference. That's all we have. If this is true, would you guys like to have a From Software original game that uses fantasy elements like more Game of Thrones? Or would you like it to be a Game of Thrones game that is Dark Souls-esque difficulty?
That. I would that.
Yes?
Who would you play as, though? Random Joe Schmo? That can be from anywhere. Like, you can be a Northman, or you could be from King's Landing, or you could be from Braavos, or you could be
a
Maester from the Citadel, or you could be from Beyond the Wall. One of those three options.
They're saying it's open
world. Man, that sounds awesome. I love this game.
Allow me to interject.
Allowed.
I freaked out. I would not like that as a Souls game. I would not like that. I would like it as an open world RPG.
Well, I think that's the thing, is that it's supposed to be an open world game. If so maybe they start introducing classes and kind of put more of a... Kind of Dark Souls had the classes thing at the beginning, but maybe they kind of do that and but they expand upon it with the houses and stuff.
I would argue that Dark Souls is too linear for something that has that much potential in my mind.
I think Sekiro is a little bit bigger.
That's fair.
I agree. I don't know. I just think that a Game of Thrones... I just know you can't play as like a named character from the show or the books, because then it would tie it to either the books or the show and then a certain timeline.
What they did in Den of Snakes or whatever that one Telltale game was, you played as House Forrester, which is not mentioned in the show.
Yeah.
But is a house?
I think it's in the books. It's, you know, it's a lesser house of the north.
You can invent some stuff.
Bumble
in the next 5 years, you're going to watch HBO invent a whole bunch of Game of Thrones content that was never mentioned in anywhere else. So, fuck it. From Software can do it as well. Other things I have here. Dino Crisis might be getting a remake from Capcom.
Wait, is that a shooter?
It's kind of like Resident Evil, but with dinosaurs. So it's like a third-person shooter.
No, that's not what I'm thinking.
Maybe you're thinking of Turok.
No, yes. I'm thinking of Time Crisis.
Time Crisis is an arcade on rail shooter that we might have played at the arcade
the other
day. That's
what I want. I want Time Crisis 4 at home.
On the PS2.
Not for $150.
Yeah, well, then there's your thing. That would be awesome. That's what the one thing I always hope they would do on the Wii that they never did is like an arcade on rail shooter collection that had Area 51, Site 4, and they never... Nope.
That'd be fun.
Sad face. The gun cons on the PS2 were cool. The other thing...
True.
Fable 4. People think that the people who make Forza are making this new Fable. We've heard maybe some...
What are you going to play as cars?
Do you have any gasoline?
The magic of the movement. The speed is the need. People are saying that...
Bumper chaser. Chasing bumpers.
Fable 4 is popping up on Mixer under official pages. So maybe we'll get an announcement. Because Microsoft, they do the press conference, but they also do a bunch of other stuff throughout the day. They have their old event, which is kind of what EA is doing this year.
I can get into that.
Guys, can we just small? Let me set it on my phone. Small round of applause for EA for not doing a press conference, guys. Good job. Take the L. Hold that L for me, EA. Hold
ELA.
it.
ELA.
It's not in the game. You should get out of it. I'm hoping that this no press conference for EA might let them, I don't know, show off some Star Wars game and not have people talk about it. I would just like to see some Fallen Order gameplay, like a 5-minute gameplay thing of that, and that'd be cool. And that's all I need from EA.
Fallen Order, it has the potential to be something special, and I'm hoping for it.
I'm just excited I don't have to watch all of the EA press conference to get that one piece of information I am desperately looking for. Anybody have anything else they want to say about Microsoft? Do you think we're going to get a release date for the new Xbox or a price point or anything about the new Xbox?
Which new Xbox?
Not the discless one, but the next gen, the Xbox One 2.
I don't think so.
Or do you think that, yeah?
I think you'll get the Scorpio part 2. You know what I mean? Like the teaser.
Right. The fact that we're working on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Last year we had the, hey, we're working on the xCloud, the new big stream. Maybe they announced that as an extension of Game Pass, because I think I've been talking about that. If this is the E3 to do it, this is where Nintendo should take Game Pass on, and they should like make this kind of partnership. And so with xCloud and everything, it would be a good time to pull the trigger. I would also like to see a system, but hey.
Do you think we're going to see a lot of commitment to the new streaming platforms?
I really hope so.
You really believe in that?
I think they're going to take an attempt.
I get it.
I do.
Because you played Assassin's Creed that way.
So here's the thing. I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey with a garbage computer. And then they showed it on a number of screens, including but not limited to tablets and phones. What does everyone in the world, not everyone in the world, most people that are going to buy video games have?
A phone. A video game controller.
So why wouldn't people just
sync their controller to their phone?
I mean, think about it.
It's that easy.
PUBG, Fortnite, all those games are going to mobile.
You don't have to sell a console if they already have the device in their hand.
But they want to not sell consoles?
If you're Microsoft?
Maybe.
If you're Microsoft, you're trying to get people in because you're also Windows. Don't care, dude.
You know what?
Surface is just selling a Windows phone that's advertised for gaming.
If it has fucking buttons, I'm in. Because goddamn, do I hate virtual controls.
If the Surface, well, that's the thing.
Shit, what are those called? Sidekicks are coming back, man. They got buttons underneath.
I just think that this is a good place where they could leverage.
But like Switch size.
They could leverage it over. I don't think they would block out the iPhone,
Not.
But they could leverage that to make maybe their Surfaces and their kind of laptops more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Game-friendly.
Game-friendly than, say, an iPad, you know?
Or they really pimp out the NVIDIA Shield.
Sidekick. You're talking about the phones?
Yeah, I was talking about the phone that, like, they flipped up.
And then you had the little keyboard
underneath.
Uh-huh. What were those
instead,
called?
They're called sidekicks. Yeah. I mean, like, this is a pretty good size.
Kyler's holding this, and this Switch.
Is, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
This is a little big for a phone, but
it
doesn't look stupid.
But
it doesn't look that stupid.
Not on us. We're big.
Right. We're big people.
But if somebody was selling that kind of like a Switch-sized tablet or phone or something and says, like, here you go, 720p screen, you're not trying to buy a $400 system, but you're probably going to try and buy a $200, $300 tablet or something like that, maybe a low-entry thing.
Right.
Now is the time.
The time is now.
Real quick,
before we move off of this streaming thing, interesting thing happened. The Steam Link is now available on Apple devices.
Ooh.
So you can play your Steam games that you buy and never play on your Apple phone.
And a lot of those Steam games are good for a little phone game.
Right.
It's perfect. Hand in hand.
It's interesting.
You're not locked into the App Store anymore.
Is that the thing we bought that one time?
Yeah, I bought two of them.
I think everyone owns a Steam Link. I think they were like $1.
$10 for both.
I
get a Steam Link if you can.
I used it to play Half Genie, Half Hero, Shantae. And never touched it again.
It is good. I'm sure we're going to get some Halo Infinite gameplay, some Gears of War 5 gameplay. Those are their big exclusives.
I would love a Switch Shantae title, like an exclusive, you know, like...
Shantae has been getting, like, more and more popular. I think a $60 Shantae.
Dude, I love that game.
He's... Shantae, Half Genie Hero, what's the other one? They're both on Switch.
Pirate's Curse?
Yeah. Both of them are fire.
Dude, so good.
Flames. If you like side-scrolling platformers, a lot of color and some cool transformation.
The dialogue's hilarious. It's great.
It's a good time. Let's wrap up the games here. I just want to say this. Dauntless.
Ooh.
Man, we played a lot of that this weekend.
Yeah, right. We are.
I intend to play more when I get home tonight.
We are pulling into an hour. I didn't mean to drop this late in the game, but I think I skipped over a little bit earlier.
We can be brief. I mean, we're going to talk about it over the next couple of weeks.
Honestly.
I love Monster Hunter, and I hear that this is Monster Hunter Lite.
Yep.
Everyone's playing it.
A lot less
Ed Boy
thinking.
Playing it. Dude. Yeah.
It's nice because unlike in Monster Hunter,
in Monster Hunter, you could get away with just playing one weapon, you know, like picking a weapon that you like or that really like.
There's multiple weapons?
Five.
Yeah, there's five different weapons. There's five different weapons.
Sword, hammer, axe, chain blades, and
the warpike.
And then there's, sorry, and then there's repeaters. The repeaters. I always forget that.
Real quick, how much does this game cost?
$0.
It's a whole bunch of free.
Free.
Xbox, PlayStation, PC.
All crossplay, dude. It's pretty cool going into a hunt and you see Xbox logo here, PS4 logo.
That's cool.
PC logo. So you can see actively who you're playing with.
Can we just, all right, once again, I'm sorry to, but guys, we finally made it. I think we said last year, like 2019 is the year that we will see Xbox and PlayStation players happening. And I think we also said collectively, it's not going to happen with a bang. It's just going to start showing up.
And as much as people love to shit on Fortnite and Epic Games, myself included, they're kind of the harbingers of
They are too dang for this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they made it happen. They made it happen. Like, there was no pomp and circumstances whatsoever. They're just like, oh yeah, by the way, it's crossplay. And it works.
Between Fortnite and, between Epic and Psyonix with Rocket League, those two companies have been pushing really the whole thing of crossplay. And we owe it most of them. So if you don't own Rocket League, Fortnite's free, but you know, play it, I guess. Give a little love. I hear it's become like an ad, a running ad almost. There's just so much stuff in Fortnite. But hey, it's a business deal. What are you going
to
do?
Small summary of Dauntless.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry to get off topic.
No, okay. As you said best, it's Monster Hunter Lite. You have a handful of monsters and then like variant forms of them, I guess. So like there's this elementless monster known as the Shriek, which is a big-ass owlbear thing that you fight. Cool. There's like an ice version of it, essentially. There's not a ton of variety in the game, but...
Is it open world, or is it like levels that you go to, kind of like Monster
Hunter? It's just like Monster Hunter where you do hunts.
Let me pull the audience here real quick. Tyler, what weapon do you use?
It depends on the monster, as usual.
And that's the beauty of it.
Oh, okay.
Each weapon has a mastery to it, so you...
Progress.
Yes, you progress using that weapon... And the quests therein encourage you to try different weapons and master them in different ways. You know, you have highly mobile weapons. You have like standard fight weapons where you're literally lucky if you hit it a couple times per fight, but you're hitting it hard when you do.
Do your weapons break, and do you ever have to punch the monsters with your fists?
So there is a way to remove your weapon from your body
and your armor.
You could do that, but you can't do that mid fight.
Damn it.
I've been trying really hard to not pick up my weapon and attempt to do damage again, and that's just not a thing. They don't let you punch monsters.
My general thing in
any punch monsters game.
My general thing in any fight is just to get as naked as possible and try to attack my attacker.
The Beowulf method.
Exactly, because they'll just be so afraid. I don't know if the giant owl beast would be afraid of my doggy, hairy ass body, but who knows? You have been. I'm sorry once again. I'm glad we got over it.
Be intimidated by your hog.
Dauntless, tell me more about it. Four players, can you do solo? Could you match up with AI?
You can do private matches with just your buds. Tyler, go ahead, say some stuff about Dauntless.
Some stuff about Dauntless.
Yeah. In comparison
to Monster Hunter. Sorry, I've been taken over, so.
What do you want me to say? You did a pretty good job of it.
Give me some info on these quests, Tyler, because that's something Kevin didn't cover. Is it kind of like repeatable quests like, hey, go kill this guy, or is there a decent narrative string to it?
So I haven't really seen a decent narrative string problem because I've been jumping through all what do you want me to do next? And then so you just
hit the buttons.
Yeah.
You could read their stuff. I don't think it's that important, because we're doing fine, and I'm, like, level 24.
Not very compelling either.
I played for 12 hours on Monday.
They like the game.
I'm level 10.
I'm level 0.
I would... okay, so the quests are, like, collect 30 of each of these things. Or kill this monster with this type of weapon, mm-hmm. or dodge through attacks, mm-hmm. or...
Is it like the copy and paste the same seven things over and over?
Yeah, pretty much.
But the core gameplay is still really fun?
And there's dailies and...
This is like...
It's like Monster Hunter,
It's like the Rage 2 kind of thing, but with Monster Hunter. They've adopted... Whereas Rage adopted Doom, and the core gunplay was fun, they have a bunch of stuff. This is like online Monster Hunter... But just with a fun, like, little narrative twist. Because it's not...
I think what it does, though, is it gives the... It takes the complexity of Monster Hunter and packages it in an easy-to-digest format, which allows for more depth of strategy. A good example in my opinion, is the Ostian repeaters, which are two little handguns that you can get. If you reload near the monster, you kind of steal part of its essence and power up your guns.
Oh, cool.
You'll do more damage for a little while.
And the gun consists of a grip, a chamber, and then a barrel.
And a crystal that you probably haven't gotten to yet.
I haven't gotten one built. Each of those parts is interchangeable, so you can basically custom make a weapon. A gun that has different features. So, like, you know, one of the grips allows you to drop a mine that arms after a few seconds.
Can you, like, bloodborne counterattack or parry with your gun?
You cannot.
No. Damn! It's okay, though.
One of them allows you to unleash a salvo of rockets. Nice. One of them, you know, allows you to... I mean, the barrels are all different elements.
Damage types, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know why they put so much work into the guns.
The guns are very particular, but I think it's because they came after all the other weapons.
I think so too.
When the open beta first came out, it was four weapons. It was the sword, hammer, axe, and the chain.
Was that like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tyler was talking about that back in the day.
It was a big deal. Like, those four weapons were solid and tight.
Yep.
Then they came out with the war pike when the closed beta actually opened up, and it was awesome and interesting. And now that it's on console and is full release, I mean, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's fun. Sweet. And this seems to be a game that they will build upon as they go with a free-to-play. Is there microtransactions, season pass? How are they making their money here?
Season pass.
Yeah, okay. Season pass, microtransactions for cosmetics.
Okay.
You can buy potions. You can't buy weapons.
Nothing egregious, one could say.
Right.
Good. Good to see that.
I hate to say it, but the season pass is only $5.
Yeah.
And it's for the next seven, no,
is it like
five and a half weeks.
Is it a battle pass where it's like the more you play, the more stuff you get? Or is it just new DLC content?
It's inline leveling rewards. So you get rewards for leveling, and then if you buy the battle pass, you get more.
Okay, right. So that's what a standard battle pass is. A season pass is like you get DLC no matter whether or not you play. And that was the distinction I wanted to make in my head. Sorry, Tyler.
No, that's fine. On top of that, you also get more experience, and you get more rewards at the end of every hunt.
Sounds like there's plenty of stuff to do in this Dauntless game.
It's fast Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, it's
fast
fun.
Monster Hunter Lite.
It's very fun.
I'm excited to try it after I get through these layers of fear. And I'm still playing Yoshi's Crafted World on the Switch. It's a good time. Speaking of old games, real quick. Perfect Dark on the N64. I went up to the...
oh my god, I found a copy of that in my basement.
Riri?
Yes, I had to give it back to my brother-in-law.
That's rough. Perfect Dark 64 is a great game. I recently played through the 360 remaster from however long ago, and I played it co-op, and it was great. I just want to say it's great. You really start to take for granted the waypoint systems in shooters nowadays, because you're like, what door? Which door do I have to go in out of these 14 doors to get to this one objective? If you've never played Perfect Dark, check out Perfect Dark on the N64. Watch some YouTubes of it. It's great. It's like GoldenEye. Last pre-3 alert. Ubi. I think Ubisoft...
Hard or soft?
You think Ubi go hard this year or Ubi go soft this year?
Ooh.
Last year, Ubi soft for sure. 2 years ago, Ubi hard.
Ubi might go hard.
They had the Raving Rabbids 2 years ago with Miyamoto that came out, and they had the new Assassin's Creed. Ubi hard 2 years ago.
Ubi might go hard.
If anything Ubisoft, they're definitely going to have the dancers. They'll do Just Dance or fucking Dance Already 2019, whatever they're calling it this year.
Shut the fuck up and dance Volume 3.
There's going to be tons of colorful costumes. They're going to come out into the audience. People are going to look really awkward like they always do. They're going to dance. There's going to be a big thing.
Or they're going to announce their new IP, Just Pants.
Just Pants. And they take off everybody's pants. One of the worst things this side of E3.
Really weird, because you could have the subtext for every single other game, which is Just Sit.
Just sit. It'll be okay. Watch Dogs 3. This is an actual kind of prediction because Assassin's Creed, I think they're taking the year off. After Odyssey, they should. Give us a... Watch Dogs 3, the main thing is that Watch Dogs started off as an okay Grand Theft Auto, you know, kind of clone. And then Watch Dogs 2 was a really, really fun open world game, but more so it was a great recreation of San Francisco. I heard tons of people talking about, I work down the street from there.
I need to play that then. I've been there.
Exactly. And as I was playing through my partner, she's been to San Francisco several times. She's like, I've seen that mural. I've walked down that street. I remember Giant Bomb talking about it, and they said, yeah, our building's in the game. It's just not our building. But you can walk two blocks down, and you can see, like, it's... So the question is, what city would you like to have? If the first one was Chicago, the second one was San Francisco, what metropolitan city or...
Cleveland.
Okay, look, I know Cleveland would be fun, but I don't think it's big enough. I think New York... Was the first one Chicago? Was
going
New York.
To East Cleveland.
No, East Cleveland. I think it was Chicago.
I think it was New York.
Okay, let's just take New York off the table.
What are you talking about?
Watch Dogs.
What? Watch Dogs?
There was a lot of dogs. We have to have somewhere where dogs...
Chicago.
Miami is a good Tokyo. Idea. Maybe they go Miami and they go 80s. And it's like retro hacking. Oh,
Watch Dogs Vice City.
No, for real, because Watch Dogs is attached...
Watch Cats.
You lost me. Watch Cats would be a good Watch spinoff, Cats. But it couldn't be the hacking thing. It would have to be like some completely other different... It's just Grand Theft Auto with
Cats. It's just social maneuvering. It's just Scarface.
Gotta get that clout off these sick cat pics. Watch Dogs 3, I think, would be cool. Honestly, a Vice City thing, because the whole idea is, you know, it's this futuristic hacking tech.
Here we go again.
Oh, here I go hacking again. Watch Dogs 3, hopefully we'll get an announcement. I think Miami or some other kind of tropical setting with, like, old school tech would be cool.
Watch Dogs San Andreas.
No, too open. That's kind of it. There's going to be different...
I got it. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to extend this bit. Watch Dogs... Raccoon City.
Yo! It's just Resident Evil 2 with zombies. A
mod. Oh, man. Like a Resident Evil crossover with Watch Dogs?
That would ruin the game because half the problems in fucking Resident Evil are like, oh, no, this door won't open. You're just like, beep, boop, boop, beep.
But then a zombie comes out of nowhere and you have just the yo-yo. You didn't play Watch Dogs 2. Like, literally,
I didn't see the yo-yo.
Yeah, you just smack somebody in the face with a yo-yo.
Just explode a sewer underneath him.
Hell yeah, dude. Devolver Digital will be having their E3 conference.
Oh, man.
UploadVR.com is having the first ever VR thing.
You think Devolver's gonna go?
They're going full silly again. I think I saw this thing where they're like, "Hey, we know the time honored tradition of spoiling things before E3. So check out our leaks channel on Discord if you want to see." So I think they're like playing into it. Devolver has become the de facto 11:30. Let's all giggle and drink after a long day of conferences. So it's all gonna be jokey, anyways. Let's move into the end of the show, guys. We did have that user question. I'm just looking at the games and everything. Yeah, we kind of talked about everything I wanted to talk about pretty succinctly, I will say so. Let's talk about this user question. We asked you, Kevin, could you bring that up? Wait, I'll get it. We asked you at home with E3 2019 around the corner. What are your big predictions? What are these pipe dreams that you're looking forward to seeing announced? If there was one thing you could get, what would it be? As far as E3 announcements go, Kevin mentioned earlier, someone said that they were really excited for potential, not Crash Bandicoot, Banjo-Kazooie and Smash. Also, someone said Pikmin 4. Pikmin 4, I think Pikmin 3 did well. I think Wii U was Pikmin 3. I think Switch needs a Pikmin game. I think Switch also needs a Mario Kart. And that's not a remake of the Wii U one. So, Pikmin 4 is something I actually hadn't thought about, but would be dope.
I got one.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Chronicles of Riddick? Let's make another Riddick game.
Ooh, who said that? Or is that just off the top of your brains?
Pitch Kevin.
Featuring Vin Diesel. It's just Kevin playing, or Vin Diesel playing Kevin. Honestly, though, I think they made a sequel to Chronicles of Riddick on 360 that didn't do so hot. That was also Deep Silver, and they haven't been doing so hot. I wonder who owns that IP. Deep Silver has not been doing so hot as a publishing company, I want to say. Somebody else on our page said Bioshock 3 or 4, or whatever the number is, ha ha ha. Which I love the comment. I also have heard rumors of a new Bioshock. Last year I heard rumors of a new Bioshock. I also heard rumors of a new Splinter Cell. The Splinter Cell thing has obviously become a joke.
Rainbow Six New Vegas.
For real. 76. It's guaranteed to be a good time. Sorry, I'm pulling up the group now. That was the Facebook page. If you guys want to join us in the discussion, search Super Gamecast 64 on your Facebook. You can find the page, or you can find the group. The group is where a lot of people talk. Kevin posts some funny pictures. I post some funny pictures. Here's another one from a listener. Evil Within 3. Tyler, you would love Evil Within 3, wouldn't you?
Don't lie to me.
Tyler, you would love Evil Within 3. Evil Within 3 is about... It's a turn-based RPG about a young anime boy who's trapped in a TV, and he's so mad about the pop culture and how evil it is within this TV. So you have to fight zombies in a third-person shooter. It's actually not turn-based. There's a lot of scares. But you'd like it, maybe. Tyler's not going to like it. Evil Within 3 would be dope. That's a Capcom game, though. I think with the success of Resident Evil 2, they could get away with it. Is it a Capcom game?
No way.
Shit, I don't know, actually.
Evil Within.
Evil Within 1.
That's not how you spell
was
it.
Very much like Resident Evil 4. I mean, that was what it was based on. Evil Within 2, it's kind of like the layers of fear, psychological horror, mixed with the little, like, the zombie stuff. But it's not zombies. Evil Within 2.
Tango Gameworks.
Oh! Tango Gameworks. Evil Within 3 would be dope. And longtime listener, Kevin T, we love you, recommended Super Nintendo games on Switch, which is, once again, they've been rumored that they're going to bring that to the Nintendo Classics online thing. So I would love to see, you know, Super Nintendo. If we had one Super Nintendo game pop up on Switch, sorry for all the what would you have? Not Mega Man X, Tyler, as I look at you.
Because I already own that, yeah.
Yeah, but if, okay, the first.
Soldiers of Fortune.
Good choice, Kevin. Got nothing? Well, you weren't a big Superman, or not Superman.
They already did Flashback, so I'm good on that.
Toe Jam and Earl. I don't know why. I haven't even played the new one.
Vector Man.
That's Sega.
That's a Sega Genesis.
I know.
But that would be actually, I would take Sega. I would take Vector Man 1 and 2 over any Super Nintendo game just right now. As
Buck Bumble.
Fuck, yeah. They need to do N64 Classic, and then these have Buck Bumble.
The bums.
Bum to the boo to the boo to the bit boo. Anybody else have any predictions you want to throw in before we field our next user question?
Oh, let me just throw a real wild card out there.
Yeah, throw an old Kentucky curveball.
Kentucky curveball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead and talk a little. I'm going to think for
talking
a second.
Talking is fun. We have recommendations as well.
Well, I wanted to ask something. Why would you make a collection of the most impossible games on the planet? Tell me, why is Contra Collection a thing?
I was going to say, you know what? Because Castlevania Collection was so... I heard the Castlevania Collection that has the Game Boy ones on it is actually fire. It's really good. There was two Castlevania Collections that came out. One was meh. The other one was like Fuego. I think because the good Castlevania Anniversary Collection sold so well, they're primed to not do... You got to think, Konami, they don't have much, right?
They don't have anything.
Exactly. But they do have Contra. But they do have Castlevania. And Metal Gear. They already did Metal Gear HD shit, like, twice. Do you have the list there of the Contra games that are going to be on there? I should ask you when you had the thing up. It's cool, though, because, like the Castlevania one, it's going to have, like, you know, Super C, Contra 2, OG Contra.
Sure, but those are all very difficult games. And you're not going to beat one.
You could try. And when you fail, maybe you could try out some of these lesser-known Contra games that will also be appearing. You got
ready?
Some... Yeah, hit me with all these Contra games going to be in this Contra collection.
Contra, as in the arcade. Okay.
Just read it.
Super Contra.
Yeah.
Contra again.
Nice.
Super C, Operation C, that was for Game Boy.
Ooh.
Contra 3, Alien Wars, that's a super game.
Super Nintendo.
Contra Hard, I almost said Cops, Hardcore.
Hard Cops.
Sega Genesis.
It's hard what?
Huh?
Regional Variants.
Huh?
Japan will get Contra for the Famicom.
Famicop.
Famicop. Probotector in Europe. Super Probotector. Alien Rebels. Wow. Abian.
It's good to see some variations among the collections because, you know, I hate when you just get all of them where every collection is the North American version. Because sometimes the PAL version is better. Dude, Contra's so good. If you haven't played Contra, because it is an old school game, is you run to the right and you shoot things and you die a lot very quickly.
Yes.
They're great games to watch speedrun. There is a speedrun thing coming up. Summer Games Done Quick. That's in July. We'll talk about that soon.
SGDQ.
Did you, Kevin, was that enough vamp for you?
Yeah, that was plenty. Remember the game Medieval?
Yes.
Oh, I heard that's getting a thing.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, it's actually been, like, there's a...
Kevin did not watch the State of Play. So the PlayStation conference that they had the Final Fantasy VII trailer in.
2019 video game.
Let me throw another one out there, then. Legacy of Kain.
That is something that I've heard multiple times, and I really would like that. But yeah, no, once we get off the show here, they showed gameplay. It is essentially what they did with Spyro the Dragon and Crash, but just medieval.
Hell yeah.
It's $30.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
There you go.
And you get
I'm like Nostradamus.
You need a PS4 though.
Well, fuck that then. I'm done.
You come over to my house, you can play it.
All right.
The user question for this week, guys. We'll do this unless you have a spicy game fact. All right, we'll do a user question instead. We play a lot of games, right?
Hell yeah.
And a lot of those games only get played for a little bit because you don't have so much time. But some games you spend a lot of time on. Like, I play a lot of Rocket League. I play a lot of Elder Scrolls Online. I'm sure if I went back into the archives of my gaming history, I've probably put hundreds and hundreds of hours into something like Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. But what we want to know is, let's say, the past 5 years, right? In the last 5 years, or the last console generation, Xbox One, PS4, Switch, modern PC, what is the game that you've found you've spent the most time on? Is it been an indie gem that you've loved, like Binding of Isaac or something? That's probably older than 5 years. Call of Duty? An MMO? Stardew Valley, Kevin? For real, though.
Dragalia Lost, a phone game?
Yes, mobile games count as well. What is the most recent game that you've spent way too much time on? We want to know, because we probably want to play it too if we haven't heard of it.
You know we'll try it. If they don't try it, I'm going to try it, and I'll let you know that I liked it.
It will be posted. The user question, as always, will be in the episode post on the group. So if you want to join in on the conversation, go to facebook.com and just search SuperGameCast64. Like I said before, you can find the page and the group. Like both, because it's tons of fun. Kevin?
I do have a spicy game fact I forgot about.
Okay. Let's
we can
hold
do it later.
Yeah, let's hold the spicy game fact because let's just roll right into recommendations. I'm going to do a preemptive recommendation for those who don't know at the end of the show. We always recommend something to watch, something to read, and something to play. So you can leave our show with some sort of recommendation for some entertainment for the week. Upcoming this Sunday. Well, depending on when you're listening to it, a Sunday that was recent, the Nosferatu show on AMC. Based on what book, Tyler?
Nosferatu by Joe Hill.
Joe Hill, Stephen King's kid. He doesn't like to be called that, though. He's a great horror author, and finally, Nosferatu, the story of Charlie Manx, the crazy man who owns Christmasland, and the time-traveling girl, Val? Vic McQueen?
Vic McQueen.
Sounds like a goddamn Cars protagonist. She,
Speed,
will be speeding her way through some psychological terror, starting in on Sunday, or a Sunday. Look up Nosferatu on AMC. It's starting at 10 p.m. on Sunday. Should be running for, I think, I don't know, 10 weeks, because it's like a 10-episode thing. Does anyone have a play that they want to throw into the...
The Castlevania Double Pack from 2006 on Game Boy Advance. Get that one. That's the only thing you'll ever need.
Yeah, there you go. And then you're good.
You're welcome.
If you don't want Game Boy Advance, play Dauntless. Play,
Play Sea of Thieves with me.
Play Binding of Isaac.
No one else will play with Kevin.
Play Capcom Beat 'em Ups. We talked about that last week.
That was fun.
Press play on Spotify and listen to the Cat Empire's new album, Stolen Diamonds.
That's something to listen to, yo. That's a brand new exclusive category.
I listened to that for the first time last week, the whole album, and I literally have not listened to anything else since. It has been on repeat.
And a watch. We did the watch already. A play. It's a read.
For the watch.
For the watch. What is that?
That's where you stab a main character.
For the watch. I've been reading The Disappearance at What Something Rock by Paul Tremblay.
I've been reading American Gods.
I've been reading A Brief History of Nearly Everything by Bill Watson.
Well, that sounds fun.
Neat.
I'll have to look it up. My thing is, Paul Tremblay is a horror author. So there you go. It's a little bit of everything.
Neil Gaiman is not a horror author.
That's like fantasy, but it's great. American Gods is fantastic.
Bill Bryson mostly writes nonfiction, but it's good shit.
A little bit of something for everybody. And Kevin had we had a listener who contacted us. We love the VR. You know, we're big fans of the VR, although it is kind of expensive. It's hard to get our hands on the tech. We did have a listener reach out to us. Loved? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Was definitely had some words to say about Blood and Truth, the new PSVR game on, PlayStation VR. Play as a spy guy. It's like a shooty kind of game. But what did he have to say about it?
Good friend of the show, Rob.
Rob.
Reached out to me and told me that Blood and Truth is fantastic.
Nice, good to hear.
Said he's not even halfway done with the game, and it's already lived up to the hype that the London heist started.
Yes.
The controls are solid, and it's the kind of game where you look and you know where you want to go and you hit a button to move to that position, but you still feel like fully in control.
They call it teleporting mechanics.
Exactly.
But you don't get the disruption.
Right.
Good to hear.
And so far the story's solid. He says there's something satisfying about going into a room, using your hands to open the drawer, or using a lockpick.
A lot of tactile movement.
You can use one hand, either hand for the guns or both. There's a lot of interesting stuff he's saying that's going on in there. And he's looking forward to playing more of it.
I have heard good things. Once again, Blood and Truth is like it's a full VR experience made by the people who made The London Heist, which is part of the VR Worlds compilation disc that came with or was purchased by many PSVR owners. It's the they like to say the C word a lot, and they're like, fuck you, mate, and then you shoot a gun in their face, and you're a criminal. And it's a lot of that. But I did see, like, I think it was an IGN video where you can, you know, you got your pistol ammunition right in your chest, so you can, like, reload really fast, or just throw a million magazines because it's unlimited magazines. It all looks like a good time. That, I believe, launched at the end of May. So if you have a PSVR, fucking play it. And if you don't have a PSVR, grab one. I should take my own advice, because they will be working on the new PlayStation 5 hardware. I think we've done it. I think the E is upon us.
By George.
And the pre-3 episode has been put in the bag, but we do still have social links to talk about. We do have a spicy game fact.
And a second spicy game fact.
And a double spicy game fact. We have a dual spice.
I was chomping by flavor.
Hey, I'm going to go first, because it's not that cool.
First, you're going to have to hear the social links. That's how we get you. That's how we get you.
Listen.
If you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us in a bunch of places. Once again, for the third time, Facebook is where all the talking happens. We post a bunch of stuff. So facebook.com/SGC and then 64 spelled out for the page. You can find a link to the group as well. Join the group. About 100 plus members strong. It's a fun time. Everyone likes talking about video games. If you want to reach out to us on Twitter, Twitter's me. I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at T. Tramaglio.
And the official show Twitter is at SuperGameCast64, where you can find some news and stuff like that. We're also on Instagram. More to come on that later. SGC64Mail@gmail.com. There's tons of ways to reach out to us. Speak to us, and you'll hear. And as always, try and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or anywhere, and the review robot 2K12-3000 can come out of his hole and read it live on the air. Tyler,
ready?
You said you had a spicy game fact. Let's see the spicy. What do you got to bring to the table?
16 and a half years ago.
Nice.
The Konami Collector's Series was released.
Ooh.
Containing Castlevania, Castlevania 2, Castlevania 3, Contra, and Super C. 16 and a half years later, we have two separate collections, and it's more expensive to buy them separately.
You could
say it's got like twice, three times as many games.
It's like History Repeats Itself, or Konami has been repackaging the same thing since
then. But are they worth
it? I think the Castlevania.
Castlevania collection?
No!
Some Castlevania fans might disagree with you. I did hear, though, that the one that had the Game Boy specifically ones on it was a fun time.
I didn't know that was a thing. I need it.
There is a Castlevania. There's two Castlevania. Sorry, once again, I know Kevin's really chomping the bit for his game fact. I could see it. It's going to be a good one, I can tell you. But there are two Castlevania collections. One has like Rondo of Blood and Symphony of the Night.
Ooh.
It's like four, but okay.
You bought that. You already bought that. It was for PlayStation Portable.
Yeah.
But this was on, I think it's on Xbox, PS4.
That's right.
Regardless, that came out. It was okay. You know, Rondo of Blood, they're good games.
It was only two games, I think.
It was just two games, but it's still considered a collection.
Then this newer one came out called the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, which has like 8 games, including some Game Boy games. I hear that one's awesome. Has tons of good concept art. Here is I don't think it's a Konami-themed spicy game fact.
Nope.
But the second of the dual spicy game facts for episode 125. Take us home,
boom.
Kevin!
You know everybody's favorite bald...
Robotnik.
No. Favorite bald...
Podcaster.
Video game protagonist / antagonist.
Me.
One Punch Man.
Cole.
Phelps?
Infamous.
No. Yeah, Cole. From Infamous.
Yeah, okay. What about some...
You remember Cole and Zeke?
What's his name? McTaggart?
Infamous 2 is great.
And
no, that's not right.
Trish.
Okay. What about them?
They're approaching an anniversary right now, too. I believe it is 10 years.
Infamous is so good, guys.
The...
McGrath.
Original title for Infamous was True Hero. They actually had some working, trailer intro
shots. Yeah, I think Infamous works better.
I think it does, too.
Also, fun fact for me, is that the...
Yeah, that's it. I would play that game again.
Infamous originally had motorcycle parkour in it. I saw that, a gif of that on Kotaku, because they're, you know, like Kevin's saying, they have this anniversary coming up. They're talking a bunch of, hey, this is some scrapped ideas we had.
It was the end of this month.
Yep.
Motorcycle parkour. Imagine it. Imagine a world completely underwater.
Under motorcycles.
Imagine a world...
completely under motorcycles.
Completely full of Garfields.
Nope.
Oh, I hate Mondays.
Guys, this is a good episode.
It's Tuesday.
E3's coming up. We'll be back with E3 2019 Battle Royale and last prediction of the episode before we log off. How long... Oh, sorry, Kevin.
I was going to say dick's out for Harambe.
Dick's out for Harambe. Rude. Rip Harambe. No, I shouldn't clap for that. God damn it.
You've done this. I can't believe you've done this.
How many minutes into E3, now that EA won't have a press conference, how long is it before someone says Battle Royale? Last year was 12 minutes.
Before a presenter says Battle Royale.
Yeah, so we're talking about from like the beginning of...
Okay.
Maybe Ubisoft is first?
All right.
Or Microsoft.
Ubisoft is first?
I don't know.
Should we each get a 12-pack of beer and watch E3? And every time they say the word generation, you take a sip of beer.
World exclusive on Microsoft, you drink a beer. the whole shot. I'm actually looking because that... If Ubisoft is first, who knows?
It's going to be like 16 minutes.
Watch Dogs 3 Battle Royale. First up on the block will be Xbox, followed by Bethesda and then Devolver. Ubisoft is not until the 10th, which is Monday. But yeah, by the by, if you're looking at some of those press conferences, most of those are on Sunday, Monday, and then Nintendo's will be early on Tuesday, June 11th. So that is E3 weekend. Guys, it's been a great one. Once again, you have leveled up. If you are now listening, Tyler, did you
75 minutes. That's my prediction.
75 minutes? Tyler, did you, or Kevin?
Hi.
What was your
28.
Prediction? I'm going to go full hour. Full hour into right Microsoft. In
Are we playing Price is Right?
As usual.
Price is Right rules? Closest without going over?
Yeah.
Okay, closest without going 28. Over.
28? All right, 28. I'm going full hour. I'm thinking Gears 5 is going to have it, but they won't say it. Or maybe Halo, but they won't say it until the end.
Man, there's a good gap between you and him.
The over-under is crazy. Yes, you have leveled up. If you are now listening to Season 5, you have you've been listening for the whole entire season. You are now level 4 with a prestige mark if you've been listening since Season 4. Guys, it's not really for anything, but feel good about the progress you've made as a listener. We love you as always. Stick it to your mom, bro. Anybody got anything else?
Imagine a world.
Game's all here.
I forgot that one.